How would you rate your prayer life? Don't answer out loud. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your prayer life if 10 is it's amazing, fantastic, exciting, it's filled with newness, and you look forward to it with all you've got? That's 10. And 1 is it's pretty dull, it's repetitive, it's boring, it feels like a chore, but I know I should do it, and so I do it anyway, at least sometimes. My guess is, if we're being real honest with ourselves, all of us are lower on that scale than we want to be, and many of us, if not most of us, are in the bottom half. On some level, at times, our prayer life feels rote, lacking excitement, devoid of any real newness or freshness, and frankly, this probably discourages us and keeps us from spending more time in prayer than we might would otherwise. I remember when I first started praying with others, I was terrified. Even to pray with just one other person felt like asking the world of me. To use one of the examples from last week, I would rather have sustained physical injury, had to work many extra long hours, or do any number of chores instead. I was fine to pray alone, but would totally shut down and my heart would pound right out of my chest at even the thought of praying with anyone else. And at least for me, part of it was needing practice. Sometimes you just have to do a thing more to become more comfortable with it. But another part of it was competence. I didn't know what to say. Or I knew a few things to say, but not enough. I wondered what others might think of what I'm saying. I was the guy, along with pretty much everyone else in Sunday school, who, when the teacher asked for someone to pray and close out our time, I looked straight at the floor and I prayed that he would not pick me. And it's similar here with us, too. Many times last year when I was covering questions from the question box on Wednesdays, I would joke that the last person to sit down had to open us up in prayer. And you'd never seen people find their seat so fast and then look anywhere else in the room except at me. And this is exactly how it was for me many years ago. Eventually, I got over that, and through practice and through listening to others pray, I became more comfortable with it. But even then, it would still often feel rote and repetitive. I just had the same few sorts of things over and over again and kind of repeat. The prayer requests may have changed, but the way I prayed for them didn't. And this quickly led to boredom, lifelessness, and monotony in my prayer life. I often spend my time in prayer before I would get into the Word for the day, and it got to the point where prayer felt like a chore, and I just wanted to get to the Word. It's like prayer was this gatekeeper sucking out all the joy before I could get to my time with the Lord in His Word. And while there's a variety of issues present in that statement, I think this much holds true. I don't think it's uncommon for our prayer lives to struggle and wane and fall into a slump. I suspect that it's more common than we think, and the main point that God has for us this morning is simply that it doesn't have to be this way. So here's the goal, or here's the main aim for this morning. And I've already put it on your handout. You don't have to write. It's there. Here's the main goal, the main aim, is to reinvigorate our prayer life with new methods and fresh ideas so that it won't be boring, stale, or ineffective, but we will love prayer, long for it, and enjoy it. That is the goal. We want to move from the 1 to 5 ranking on the scale to the 6 to 10 ranking on the scale. And I don't think that a massive shift here is unrealistic or unlikely. I believe that the things our Lord desires to share with us this morning can absolutely revolutionize our prayer life for the better, and that in turn will affect every other area of our life and our walk with God. This is no exaggeration. It is simply the power and the importance and the effectiveness of prayer. So, if this describes us at all, what are some things that we can do to help turn this around? Or if this doesn't describe us, then what are some things that we can do to excel still more in our prayer life with God? Here are 10 recommendations that are not specifically prescribed in Scripture. This is not exposition, but I do think these are wise and biblically grounded. So 10 suggestions. Number one, use a list. Number one, use a list. This is super straightforward and intensely practical, albeit very simple. Now, I'm very much, as most of you well know, a type A personality, so I love organization and lists. Now, it is possible that this is not how you're wired, but if we don't have some kind of plan or some kind of organization, we will approach prayer somewhat randomly and most likely ineffectively. The truth is, prayer is warfare, and we need a battle plan. And having something written down on paper or on our phone or on our computer may prove helpful. And more than likely, the more we grow in this area of prayer, the more things we'll find we want to involve or incorporate into our prayer time. I can't remember what I had for breakfast half the time, much less dozens of prayer requests without a list. I need a list, or I'll forget, and then I won't pray for those things. I'll just default to the same old things. So using a list can be really helpful. And now with technology, the resources available to us are incredible. I spent some time researching this week, and there are all kinds of apps out there that you can download to help here. One in particular that I found worth mentioning, I found very helpful, is called Echo Prayer. I'll put that on the screen just so you can see it. It's called Echo Prayer. It's an app where you can write down prayer requests, you can set up a prayer schedule, you can have reminders and push notifications on, you can create groups with other people who have the app, you can track answered prayers, and more. And then there's entire other resources available within the app to find verses or passages about prayer, how to pray, sample prayers, both from Scripture and from others, and more. This app alone could radically transform our prayer life. So I encourage you to be open to something like this to help you get organized and get motivated. Amen? Number two, break it up into sessions. Number two, break it up into sessions. And what I mean here is we don't have to do all of our praying at once. If you have a long list, it can feel daunting, even burdensome, to get through it. And this isn't how prayer should be. So simply breaking it up throughout the day or even throughout the week can help. For example, maybe we spend 10 minutes in prayer before we open our Bibles. Maybe we spend 10 minutes more after we finish reading our Bibles, or maybe considerably more. Maybe we designate our shower time to prayer. That's one I have found helpful. Or some of our driving time to prayer. Maybe we know we'll have a few short 5 to 10 minute windows throughout the day, and boom, we can incorporate prayer into that time instead of just doing nothing or scrolling aimlessly on our phone. And we could schedule another window of prayer right before we go to bed at night and perhaps right when we wake up in the morning. If we break them down into bite-sized segments like this, it can make it more doable and it can eliminate the feeling of being burdened or overwhelmed by this massive list. Furthermore, there are probably some things that would be best if we prayed for them daily, like our own personal desires and needs and things that are very close and near to us. However, there are other things that would probably be appropriate if we scheduled them into a weekly rotation. This would help spice things up and keep it fresh. So Monday might have a special focus on the advancement of the kingdom of God, evangelistic efforts, missionaries, and more. While Tuesday might have a focus on our local church growing in discernment and spiritual leaders, spiritual maturity, and praying for our leaders, our pastors, elders, deacons, and more. Lots in this local category. Wednesday, for example, might have a special focus on all manner of health-related concerns and prayer requests and safety and protection and healing and all things like that. And then Thursday might have a unique focus on the persecuted church and the nation of Israel and God's sovereign hand in global affairs. This is just an example. Breaking it up like this can be really effective, and it can provide an electrifying jolt of energy and enthusiasm into our prayer life where it may be very needed. Everybody with me? Okay, number three, consider helpful resources. Consider helpful resources. I recently had someone share with me that they really just didn't know what to pray a lot of the times. I don't know what to say. And while many of the points that we haven't gotten to yet will address this as well, I think something that can be helpful to consider is books on prayer, or even books that have various prayers compiled for us to then make our own. Now, I say this especially for the men in the room because I've been there. We may feel insecure or feel that to use such a resource would be weak and embarrassing, but it is not. There's nothing wrong with reading a prayer written by someone else and even praying this over our wife and our family, so long as our heart is in it. The truth is, and this is a radical, it's not that radical, but it's a revolutionary truth to come to terms with in all kinds of areas of our walk, but in prayer in particular here. The truth is there are and have been some really amazing and gifted saints who have gone before us. And we can benefit from them, not just with prayer, but with all kinds of things. We can benefit from them just like we can benefit from one another and from our local pastors and teachers. And so we don't want to neglect that. So if we're someone here who's struggling, or you're just really at a loss for what to do and what to say and how to start, grabbing a book like this with some sample prayers, I think, can be a really supportive way to jumpstart our prayer life. And even if we're totally comfortable with prayer, you've been doing it for a while, you're comfortable doing it in front of others and more, still, helpful resources like this can give us new ideas and fresh ways of wording things, perhaps alternative strategies and more. So don't be closed off to something like this. Number four, meditate on who God is and pray in light of this. Meditate on who God is and pray in light of this. What I have specifically in mind here is his different attributes, the different attributes of God. It can be more than that. It's just one of the things I have in mind here. So, for example, if today we were to focus on his wisdom, then let's try praying for things on our prayer list in light of that, in light of his wisdom. If tomorrow we meditate on and focus on his mercy, then let's pray in light of his mercy. The same goes for his grace and his holiness and his sovereignty and his goodness and his immutability and justice and perfection and providence and more. Simply incorporating different aspects of who God is, like light refracting off of a diamond, for example, simply doing that, we may facilitate an entire paradigm shift in our prayer life. like totally open our minds to totally new things. For example, while we often pray for healing in light of the fact that God is our great physician and that he is able to bring about healing, what if we prayed for that same thing in light of his providence and wisdom? We're still praying for the same thing, but now our approach is totally different. And the point is not that one is better than the other. Rather, the point is that it's good to have this variety, praying in light of all of who God is, rather than praying in light of some of who God is. Does this make sense? I think this is a trap that we fall into. For example, I think we naturally pray for wisdom when we need guidance, but rarely are we asking for maturity and mercy at the same time. It's like we compartmentalize who God is, and then we kind of reach out for what we think is most applicable and what we think is best to try to apply that one aspect or that one part of who God is to this situation. But I'm suggesting our approach can and probably should be much more complex. And when I say complex, I don't mean more complicated. I just mean more involved. There is more of God that we can consider here and pray in accordance with and worship and enjoy. Is everybody with me here? So setting aside a few moments to really meditate on who God is and then look for ways to bring that back into the way we pray can be renewing and insightful. Number five, use the word. Use the word. Or we could say, pray the word. Use the word, pray the word. This is all about allowing the word to guide and influence and shape our prayer life. So if this idea is new to you, then a great place to start would be the Psalms. Much of the Psalms are recorded prayers. Or they are worship songs that can easily be turned into prayers. And so this is a very basic place to begin this journey. And then if we wanted to get a little more advanced, then we would aim to pray the Bible. Any and all of it. More than likely, if I assigned, for example, Ephesians chapter 1 to everyone, and I told you to take some time and pray through this chapter as God leads, we could do this. It's a rich chapter full of glorious doctrine, and the grace of God is just spilling out everywhere to his glory. It is an awesome and humbling read. But we want to grow to where we can do this with any passage in Scripture. And here's how we do it. We simply read through a passage slowly, and then we pray about all that comes to mind as we read. It's not very difficult. And if we do this, our prayer life will never be monotonous again. Because every page is different and every book, every chapter is different. I once received this advice on praying Scripture. Open the Bible, start reading it, and pause after every verse and turn it into a prayer. Open the Bible, start reading it, pause after every verse, turn it into a prayer. If nothing comes to mind, move on to the next verse. You don't understand or it doesn't seem like something you can pray, move on to the next verse. And as we do this, as we move through each verse, there is real newness and there's real power here because it's the very word of God, as Ricky prayed for us earlier, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. And so it's not just our ideas, it's his words, which is incredible. So I encourage you to do this. Just take some time, some designated time, where we're going to pray through the word and take a passage and just go verse by verse for a few verses, pray through it. I think it'll cause our language to change a bit. I think it'll cause our approach to prayer to be more in line with God and more in line with Scripture. We'll sound more like him. We'll get out of the repetitive rut that we might be in. We'll speak appropriately or perhaps more appropriately with God as opposed to some of the more inappropriate and charismatic ways of approaching him that are so popular today. We'll address that a bit more next week, but there's, as you all know, there's some language here that is inappropriate, to say the least, that is not at all in line with "I am dependent on this holy Creator God." We don't demand God do anything. We submit to God. We make supplications to Him, and we worship Him. So more on that, I believe, next week. And so our prayer life will not only, if we do this, be informed by Scripture, which is fantastic, and possibly one of the highest aims that we could aim for, but not only will it be informed by Scripture, it will be Scripture. And I think that's very powerful. So conforming our language to the Word and to the will expressly shared for us authoritatively, the Word and the will of God, I think is far superior to only using our own thoughts, our own ideas, and our own ways of wording things. I don't think our own thoughts and our own ways of wording and all that is bad. I think doing that exclusively is bad, and using the Word is a good addition. So get in the Word, allow it to lead and shape and influence and formulate our prayers. Amen. Number 6, pray local and global, specific and general. Pray local and global, specific and general. These are 4 categories that we might not immediately think of, but they can be helpful to consider. A good way to address prayer requests in particular is to start with ourselves and work our way outward to family, friends, groups that we're a part of, local missionaries, our community, and so on, until we get to things like international missions, the global cause of Christ, and the advancement of the kingdom, for example. Simply thinking about it in a way where we start here and move outward can be effectively orienting and organizing. Similarly, we can begin with specific prayer requests and move on to more general ones. So, for example, Father God, help me to be more patient and more gracious with this person and give me your perspective here. I don't want to be ruled by my perspective. Give me your perspective. That's a very specific prayer request. But we can also pray quite generally. For example, Lord, I ask that you would be made much of in your people today, both here in Boquete and all throughout the world. You see the difference in those two? Specific and general. And so I think at times, just thinking like that, local, global, specific, and general, can lead us well, and it will probably give us some new ideas to contemplate for joy and for sustenance in our prayer life. Amen. Number 7, here's a controversial one. Consider fasting. No, it's not controversial. It's just hard. Consider fasting. By and large, fasting is a lost discipline in the church today. I did a whole message on this, by the way, in June of 2019. It's on the website. You can go back and listen to it. Obviously, this is an abbreviated statement on fasting. We did a whole message on fasting. I just encourage you, if you've never heard anything about that or want to hear more, go listen to that message, June of 2019, on fasting. Jesus instructed his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, like this. He said, when you fast, not if you fast. However, for many, especially in the Western church, the idea of skipping a single meal is unthinkable, much less skipping several. Nevertheless, fasting can dramatically empower our prayers, and Jesus assumed that this would be relatively normal for us. When we fast, we give up physical sustenance for spiritual focus. We prioritize God above his good gifts for us. We don't merely create some additional time where we're not eating or preparing to eat that we can devote to prayer, but through our actions, and this is worship, we say, I value you more than this good thing you've given me. More than rightly ordering our priorities and practically demonstrating our love for Christ above all things, there's also a power in it. Jesus himself said in Mark 9:29 that certain kinds of demons, for example, could only be driven out by prayer, and fasting was a regularly observed command and suggestion, both in the Old Covenant. Personally, I've found that fasting can help me reset and recalibrate. For example, it's possible to get so acclimated to God and to normal, habitual rhythms of our walk with him that things just become a bit stale. You just get a little bit hardened. It's also possible that even unintentionally, we can acquire a taste for the world and for many good gifts over the giver. And one effect of this would be that we pray because we have to, or because we know that we should, rather than because we want to, or because we so treasure this precious time of communion with God. And so fasting, whether it be from food, there's a variety of ways you can fast. More on that in the sermon I referenced. But whether it be from food or from television or from any good gift, for some temporary amount of time, it can help us sort of reset and recalibrate our taste buds and our hunger for God himself through prayer. Does that make sense? Number 8. Listen quietly. Listen quietly to see if God brings anything to mind. Listen quietly to see if he brings anything to mind. I think this point has the capacity to be more revolutionary than any other point on this list. This is all about giving God headship in our prayer life. 2 weeks ago, I think, we did a message on the headship of Christ, and this is all about the application of that in our prayer life. So often, we just sit down and we go through the list, do the stuff, check the boxes. We praise him, we worship him, we confess our sins to him, we thank him for all sorts of things, we share our many prayer requests with him, and then we're done. And while that's not inherently wrong, what we find is we've gone through this entire prayer time without ever even considering the Lord's perspective or his specific desire for us. Imagine if we just went around the room praying for people, but never asked them how we could pray. We never sought their input. That seems a little bit ridiculous, doesn't it? And yet, this is exactly what we do with the Lord in a lot of our prayer time. And of course, the example doesn't translate perfectly because we aren't praying for God in the same way that we're praying for others. But the point remains that God may be pleased to lead us and guide us in our prayer time. Yet, many of us don't even have the mental categories to think like this. Like, it's never even crossed our mind to consider him, to ask, what would you like me to pray for today? Is there anything you would like me to stop praying for? There's a radical thought. Think of it like central command in a war. What if the boots on the ground never checked in with headquarters? They just turned off their radio and their comms, and they did whatever they thought was best. That would be ludicrous. But again, it's what many Christians do with the Lord in their prayer life. We completely cut ourselves off from the ultimate source of all things, and with good intentions, we sort of go it alone and do what we think is best. So what if we sat down and we asked God what he wanted us to pray for? What if we sat quietly alone with our thoughts and just listened and allowed him to bring things to mind and possibly lay things on our hearts, and then we prayed for those things. We followed him very practically to the best of our fallible, but to the best of our ability. This is radical. And it can not only totally change and reinvigorate our prayer lives, but it will undoubtedly facilitate greater and deeper intimacy with God. It's the difference between a husband who tries to solve his wife's problems without listening or asking any questions, and a husband who asks a lot of questions and makes her feel understood and asks her perspective on how she would like him to proceed. Those are very different. So, consider taking some time to just sit there in silence. Close your eyes. It feels, in our Western thinking, we're so prone to think about effectiveness and time, and this feels like a waste to sit for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and just sit there. It feels wasteful. It's not. It's not wasteful. Just sit there, close your eyes, and give God freedom to prompt you and to lead you very practically in your prayer life. Amen? Number 9, start small. Start small. Often when I get into seasons of working out and lifting weights at home, you can tell I do it a lot. I'm prone to going big or going home. That is, I want to commit to a lengthy, significant workout routine, but then when life happens and because of the demands of work and life and family and so on, when I can't maintain the lengthy workout routine, I'm more prone to quit for a while, start back up some other time, than to aim lower. It's an all or nothing mindset, and it's not a good one. And if we take that kind of thinking into our spiritual lives, it will be devastating. Amen. And we won't get anywhere. We'll just sit there seeing all the things that could be done that we don't have time for, and we'll give up. So don't do that. Our walk with Christ and our prayer life in particular is not meant to be this way. God knows we are finite. He knows we are weak. He knows about all the other good responsibilities that we have that he has brought into our life. He knows what we can handle at our age or at our current stage of life. And so the point is not for things to be too daunting and burdensome or overwhelming. His burden is light. And so we must conceive of these things and all other things like this in light of that truth and that reality that his burden is light. So like with lots that we've covered lately, the exhortation from the Lord to us today is probably not to try to do all of these things at once. He's shown us a lot in recent weeks. There's been a lot of lists if you've been paying attention. To do it all would be impossible. Rather, the intention with this message and all others like it is for us to prayerfully consider them and discern if there's one or maybe more things that God might be prompting for us to focus on at this time. And then a good plan would be to revisit these notes or this message down the road and consider again what adjustments or additions the Lord might have for us here. We could even break it up and consider one or two of these per week, and then next week do one or two different ones and see how that goes. A slow implementation. The bottom line here is that these topical and practical messages that the Lord has had us in for the last month or so are not meant to bury us in lots of stuff that we need to do or be better at. But rather, we're to let him guide us, and more than likely, he has something, not everything, he has something for each one of us. Does this make sense? So don't try to take on the world. Number 10, lastly, number 10, look for answers and take note. Look for answers and take note. One of the things that can help fuel a healthy prayer life is seeing that God really does indeed answer prayer. Amen. It is amazing, family. If you just think about it, this is mind-boggling that the all-sovereign, all-providential God has ordained to govern the universe in part through the prayers of his people. This is dumbfounding. and mysterious. We can't make that work in our heads totally. And getting into all that is frankly beyond the scope of this message. But it is nevertheless an absolutely jaw-dropping reality when we understand this about God and about prayer. It makes all of prayer practical, purposeful, and powerful. So when we see him answer prayers, it would be good for us to make note of this so that we can have our faith strengthened now and also in the future. Just a few weeks ago, we talked about remembering, specifically calling to remembrance God's past faithfulness. This is exactly what keeping some measure of record of answered prayers will do for us. We can rejoice and praise him for the answers now. Yes, hallelujah. But then we can also come back to it later in the future and infuse ourselves with the confidence that God really is faithful and that he really does answer prayer. And just to get even more practical here, the Echo Prayer app that I mentioned earlier allows for this to be tracked with ease. So, family, there are 10 practical ways that we can go about reinvigorating our prayer life. Or if our prayer life is already fantastic, these are ways that we can enhance it still. We don't want prayer to become mechanical, monotonous, monologuing, or mindless. And it's probably been all four of those for all of us at one point or another. We don't want a disengaged prayer life that's characterized as being rote or boring. We want a fresh, reinvigorated prayer life, like a well-rounded or a well-balanced diet where we don't eat the same three meals every single day. We want a reinvigorated, well-rounded, well-balanced diet of prayer and approach to prayer to keep us from falling into a lifeless prayer routine, or worse, no routine at all. So family, I just encourage you, consider these things, and may the Lord lead each of us well for our joy in communion with him and for his glory. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that prayer isn't meant to be and it doesn't have to be a chore, but it's a privilege. We literally get to commune with you, the God of the universe, making much of you and sharing our requests with you, enjoying you, delighting in you, and more. And you long for us to come to you. You know what we need before we ever even ask for it. And yet you long to have us run to you like the dependent, needy children that we are and share our hearts and our burdens with you. You are infinitely strong and you desire to take our burdens and carry them yourself for your own glory. That we would see you for as strong and for as tender and compassionate as you really are. And so we thank you, Father God, for the gift that prayer is. And yet, more than likely, all of us struggle with some of the things mentioned today. And so I pray that you would just lead us, convict us, prompt us, and show us what you would have us do. Show us what you would have us focus on at this time. None of us want a boring or a rote prayer life. And so we're asking for a miracle, even as we sang earlier. We're asking that you would breathe new life into our prayer time and perhaps through some of the ideas that you've shared with us this morning. Awaken our hearts, O God, that are prone to wander and prone to be disinterested in you, and give us fresh excitement about our time with you in prayer. May it be effective and enjoyable, and may you be honored through it all. We love you, we adore you, and it's in your most precious name that we pray. Amen.